Deep despair is what will drown me. Yeah. Good evening once again, you happy hell of a hoteliers. It's Cyanon, here to let Malaton tell it how it is in the depths of hell as we go through a Goetian green text of titanic proportions. We've got Sturm, we've got Drang. If those don't tickle your fancy, fret not, because I've got something else for you tonight. Owls and a Fool. Chapter 1. 21st Century Schizoid Man. Soft, windy rain gently cloaks the desolate ground, comfortably becoming one with the assault in the senses that is Pentagram City. It's as busy as ever tonight, full of bright, multicolor lights bouncing across the ring. Drive-bys of all sorts of vehicles come from near and far. Distant chatter of sinners and hellborn blends together. Music and advertisements stream on screens with uncaring faces plastered on them, peddling useless junk. There was an odd sort of comfort to it all, an encasing warmth that covered both body and soul. It felt like it was a necessity, giving a constant stream of various feedback to the senses. Time spent at home now gives off the feeling of sensory deprivation, like something needed to normally function was missing. Only with the city that never sleeps could a young sinner go by in peace. Said sinner in particular? That one, sitting on a rooftop, hood up, face down, covered in gunpowder and small stains of blood? Yep, that's me. Anonymous, of the Goetia family. I let out a sigh as the adrenaline thins out of my veins. My body is sore in places I didn't even know I had. Even now, the haunting, empty conscience of it all weighs down on me harder than any sort of physical stress could have. I'm screaming as loud as I can into the metaphysical abyss. No matter how I felt, there was always that inner hatred of everything. The kind of hatred that stuck itself as an aura of boundless static playing on a broken record. I tried to let it all out on the swings of my blade and the shots of my gun, but it didn't help. I'm still as vitreous as I was 10 minutes ago. This plague is killing me. I can't bear to deal with this storm of emotion inside of me, yet I still acted on it. It truly is pathetic. Now I shall return shortly after Trevor's commercial break. Up next, what limb makes for the best tender meat after a fresh slaughter? The all-too-familiar sound of the radio broadcast echoes its way into my ears. Each broadcast in Pentagram City was there to remind you of who was top dog, very subtly shoving the submissive mindset into old and fresh falls alike. I let out a frustrated sigh as I looked down at my phone, realizing the day is about to come to an end. Time to go, I whispered to myself. I hopped down under the cold concrete sidewalk, careful not to fuck up my ankles in the landing. Even after everything, I can't help but grin as I eye my beautiful ride. The 2020 Vogitech Sport Motorbike. Controversial for what's considered to be spyware, I took the time to strip it of all the internet-based features to keep a certain flat-screen dick wipe from tapping into it. With a startup and a few good revs, I'm ready to get the hell out of here. Can't risk drawing too much attention. The comfort from the sight and sound of assorted vehicles flying by only intensifies as I speed down the freeway. I can't help but smile to myself when the cool wind blows into my face. The chilly, drizzling rain was the bread, and the low rumble with the bike was the butter. While the feeling of riding in the dark is exhilarating, I still can't help but ravage my own mind with negativity. Maybe a drink would lighten things up. I find myself in the downtown district now, sitting in the parking lot of a plaza containing a neat little place called the Bottom Deck. It was very easy to miss if you didn't have a good eye, but it was still popular nonetheless. Each scratchy step on the brisk cement would drown out the nearby buzz of the obnoxious media surrounding me. As unsympathetic as the advertisers were towards their consumers, I returned the favor with my own neglect by turning the other cheek. Pedantic pricks. Hopefully someone rids these unbearable asshats from my surroundings. Maybe someday. Frigidaire encases my face as I open the door. With it comes the recognizable influx of noise only a brewery could. the clinking of glass, customers chatting left and right, and everything else that came with a lively night. My ears perk up as I hear a hoarse voice calling my name.
"Enon, dear boy!" it said with passion. "Come on over here, bud!"
Gale. One lively motherfucker he is. One day he'll act like the responsible father figure you desperately need during your time of strife. And the next, we'll have you getting roasted alive in either ego-popping jokes or genuine personal attacks on oneself. Either way, he was a good one to have around. Sometimes you just want to be treated with decency and basic respect, no matter your background. Gale was there for people. He was there for me. The best part was that he didn't give a shit about my social status. His treatment stayed indifferent. It was pleasant to be acknowledged outside of fear or sucking up. I release a soft breath through my nose in gratification. If there was one good thing about today, it'd be visiting him. I never get to visit him these days, let alone in his bar. A sharp stench sears through my nostrils as I sit down on a wooden chair. Old-fashioned orange twist bourbon. I, for one, could never tell why Gale liked that sort of stuff. Always stunk of cleaning wipes whenever I was near it.
"Hey, Gale."
I lean my head down, nigh monotone from prior stress.
"Just the usual today. Two of them, actually."
In one short moment, the old imp skillfully crafts the two strawberry cotton candy shakes with unmatched nimble precision. A great showcase of the decades of bartending experience under his belt. With one swipe from each arm, my drinks slide over to me with another to a fellow sitting alone by the end. With a scratch of his scraggly gray beard, Gale asks me the million-dollar question.
"Haven't seen you in a while, kid. How are ya? How are things back home?"
"Just my fucking luck. Satan damn it all." The one time in the past month I got to see someone who I can vaguely call a friend is asking about home. The manor may look pretty, but the owners of said manor are the worst thorns in the side one could ask for.
"What do you expect, old man? Same shit, different day."
I pinch my eyes, holding back my disgust-driven contempt.
"The absolute state of it all has left a void in my heart. I've tried so many times to fill it. Months of walking on eggshells with everyone in my godforsaken family has left me wanting nothing to do with them."
"I'm sure you understand."
"Oh, wait, nobody does. I don't even know why I'm talking in the first place."
Nearly scratching the meticulous maple wood, I scooch my chair back to slam my head on the table. Winded rants weren't my forte, but yet it manages to do more for catharsis than shooting someone's arm off. A pretty little thing words can be. The surroundings blur as I hold my head down. The old imp rolls his eyes at me, likely done with me for tonight. He shoves two fingers into his left front pocket and pulls a long cigarette from his gray shorts. Seconds quickly begin turning into minutes. With one step, he stands face to face with me, silently judging me, tormenting me, taunting my pride. With a blinding spark of his lighter, I'm pulled out of my trance before I could say a word.
"Kid, I'm gonna be blunt with you,"
he states with an unamused tone, puffing scorching smoke near my face.
"You should show some more respect to your loved ones. They can be hard to deal with, and they won't always agree with you on everything, but we love them anyway."
He shakes his head in disapproval, essentially mocking me.
"You don't have a slither of respect for anybody, do ya?"
All I wanted to do was grab a fucking drink and go home. Not only is it now a crime for shit to go right in the first time, but my presence alone has to impede on everyone else's days. It's at the point where I actually want to scream. In an almost comical sense, I feel the impatient buzzing of my health phone ravaging my right pocket. Mom fills my tunneled vision. This was the last batch of letters I would want to welcome into my field of view at the moment. But there's nothing more hilarious than the classic, "How could this get any worse?" gag. And the irate white terror was tonight's punchline.
"Here."
I slam 2 5-soul bills on the bar table and power walk through the crowd, blurring the sight of the customers. If I did not answer this phone, this porcelain bitch would go out of her way to send hundreds of bounty hunters to bring me back and watch as she scolds me. Even if that exact situation hasn't unfolded, it would leave me unsurprised if she went through with it. I drown out the bustling streets and slip into an untroubled alleyway to my left. Roughly hewn brick walls bathed in the gleam of neon light. On the ground, shallow water reflects the ominous red pentagram glowing in the sky. With a sigh, I step towards my temporary solace, enveloping the spatters of the wet ground. I lean on the freezing brick wall and tap the dreaded green answer button. Here we go. Within half a second of answering the call, my eardrums are blasted with the grating sound of her screeching voice.
What do you think you're doing prancing around this late at night?
Well, I didn't need to worry about not being able to hear her.
I want you to haul your irresponsible ass home this instant!
She screamed.
Now!
Sometimes I wonder if it's ever worth talking to anybody in the family. Period. Within the past 6 months, there hasn't been a single conversation I could say had mattered. It was either,
you're acting like a dumbass and need to show some respect, or the classic, you're a prince and need to uphold the family name.
If any previous conversation wasn't making one of these 2 points, I can't remember it. This idiocy has managed to become the only family interaction. Did you forget to take your medication again? I smirk. Way to make me care less than I already did.
I am your mother! She yelled. You will show me respect, and you will answer to me!
If you're going to squawk the same shit in my ear again, I'll get to the point for you. I'm grabbing Vian and I some shakes from downtown. Everyone's collective bullshit has been a constant irritant, and I'm practicing my right to not deal with it.
I explain as collectively as possible. There was nothing I wanted more than to throw my phone at the wall as hard as I could. I knew deep down I was an asshole, but I had to be. Didn't have a choice in the matter.
That's rich. You're acting just like your deplorable father, running away from all your problems and flaunting around like some low-life plebeian. It's almost funny to watch you make a complete fool of yourself all the time,
she replies, her voice echoing with subtle grandiosity. This arrogant fuck wasn't even doing the smug act right. How wonderful it would be to smash her beacon with the hottest rock I could find, to drill into her pea brain with how little I care for her and her insufferable husband. Anger hungers. But I save my breath. Why waste it on the worst excuse for parents I've ever seen?
You judge me for my response, yet this is coming from the princess who was cucked by an imp, of all things.
I rest my case, I state, unable to withhold my grin.
You ungrateful fucking...
With 3 short beeps, the call ends. Never thought I'd get this much pleasure from sadistic giddiness. The ride back home is uneventful, leaving me to sit alone with only the cold asphalt streets and the warm revving bike to comfort me. The milkshakes are left in the side compartment, closed up with lids and straining the small net that holds them. But even with the grace of lacking traffic and my good deed done for the day, I still can't help but feel a dull pain in my chest. It was the kind that resembles a crushed-up ball of paper scattered and ruined by uncaring hands. Did I really need to say all that shit to Mom? What was even the point? To make myself feel better? Yeah, even if it was uncalled for, she still deserves it for what she does to me. I eye my stop and make my way down the poorly sought-after exit. The road is littered with used condoms, empty pizza boxes, and the like. Oddly enough, to get to the manor, I have to drive through the more desolate parts of the city. This section in particular is particularly deserted, with nothing in the street except for the occasional rolling of tumbleweeds and floating papers. Almost every single building is poorly boarded up, leaving nothing but the hollow, desolate insides of businesses, hotels, and apartments. Fuck. The last thing I need to deal with is some deformed eldritch junkie stabbing me in the ass and roasting my corpse in the middle of nowhere. I weave left and right, away from the piles of garbage laid to rot. I nearly fall off my bike multiple times as I try my best to navigate the wasteland laying before me. With the mute environment, I still feel nothing but that soul-crushing sorrow. It's that itching affliction of mounting regret, hollow insides, and aloof indifference. I can feel my face physically droop down the more I think about it. And here it is, the Goetia Manor, laid bare. I look down to where the shakes were, and I find that one of them had spilled, the contents now coating the side compartment. God damn it! Why can't I do something right for once? All I had to do was buy my sister a shake, bring it home, and hand it to her without a word. Just a nice gesture. What the fuck is wrong? Oh, fuck, that's the gate! Shit! I yell unwillingly. I clench down on the handbrake as hard as I can. I nearly fly out of my own seat and into the iron wall, but I'm thankfully able to get my ass back down before I can break my face. Just fuck my shit up. I let out a sigh of relief, but it takes all my willpower and restraint to not faint right then and there. Crickets chirp quietly as the wind blows through the fluorescent vegetation of the outside garden. The air is moist and full of life as it takes in the aftermath of the rain. The rumbling of the bike stays idle, forcing through vibrations to pump through my body. As I stand, the wind takes hold of the bottom edges of my red leather jacket as well as my hair, all dancing in the breeze. I find the electric doorbell on the side and give it a soft press. Come the fuck on, I'm tired of shit and want to go to bed. Press. Still no answer. I wait for about a minute, listening into the sounds of the garden. The tranquility is only brief. Nothing still? Press. This is getting fucking annoying. Looks like it's time for the old button mash. Press, 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 press. Anon, stop that. For Satan's sake, give me a minute. A feminine, discerningly male voice screeches. On the screen is a disheveled, gray anthropomorphic owl. Dad! I say nonchalantly before deadpanning to the camera in front of me. Open up. He responds in a high, clearly irritated tone with a scowl on his face.
I do so, but your mother can't go 2 seconds without trying to kill me with my own decor.
Stola suddenly ducks out of the way of a flying flower vase. It collides with the marble wall harshly, and the noise of the collision booms through the microphone. A shrill, enraged voice follows after.
I'm taking everything! Everything you own! If you want these ungrateful brats, you can have them! But I'm taking it all with me! Then you can hand them the shame of having you for a father!
That would be Mom. While dodging a farcical amount of inner decor, Stolas manages to unlock the gate with one press of a button. The gate silently opens up, leaving me to face our garage. Done with absolutely everything for the day, I rev my bike one more time before riding into the garage, but not before being stopped once more. God, shut up, please.
And just where do you think you're going? I'm not done with you yet!
The woman yells, pointing an accusatory finger at the camera. Wait. My mom, Stella. The same mom I talked shit to earlier today. Very clearly. And in her face. Can we finish this later today? Okay, thanks. I speak unintelligibly, speeding through the garden entrance into the garage. All I gotta do is bullshit my way past the butlers and into the bedroom sectors. They'll understand, right? They'll have nothing against me for getting myself out of trouble. Hell, they themselves probably do the same thing, so who would they have to blame? Maybe I could talk to Pringles. I can always rely on him to help me out of situations like these, right? Right? This is not how I wanted tonight to go. My field of experience is complaining online about video games I haven't played, not facing a psychopathic mom on a rampage thanks to my own mistakes.
Anonymous!
The hoarse scream pulls me out of my spiral. Grabbing the remaining shake, I tiptoe as quietly as I can through the marble halls. As if fate is giving me a second middle finger, butlers appear in my way of escape. I inwardly thank Satan for having my body as lithe as it is, for I barely miss them. I feel like I'm about to explode. I couldn't tell what I was more afraid of. Whatever the hell Mom was going to do to me, or the fact that I'd be facing the consequences of my actions. Call me petty, but I was never one for witnessing the end results of my more risky behaviors. Try as I might, I can't bring down this bubbling anxiety coursing through my veins. I take a peek around the corner of the endless stairwell, grasping my heart in frivolous trepidation. I try to calm myself, forcefully slowing down my breathing.
Ow, fuck!
I wheeze out whatever breath I had left in my irritated lungs. No matter what I tried to do, it felt like I was drowning in my own exhaustion. Leaning against the wall, I think about the events that led to the predicament I'm in. Let's see. The first notable thing I did today was mercilessly slaughter a couple of gangsters who did nothing to me because I needed an adrenaline rush. Next, I dismissed Gale at the bar when he was nice enough to serve shakes for my sister and I. Then, I got into a heated argument with my mom over the phone, inconsiderate of what could happen to me. To Octavia or Dad, even. No matter how hard I try, I struggle to battle my own egocentrism. There's no real benefit to playing nice if talking to someone like Saviathan was anything to go by. Fuck that guy. I'm almost there. I'm left with a temporary moment of grace. The meticulous paint and structure of the rising wall seem to pop out in front of me. Features outlined in my sight, it's then that the smell hits me. I thought I've grown numb to the scent of stone since I'd been living inside of it all my life. In a matter of seconds, I'm brought back to reality, gasping and wheezing, my legs sting from the ascent up the stairwell, throbbing in pain. The world around me blurs into an unrecognizable mess as I try to focus on avoiding my parents. The air is deathly still, leaving me with only the sound of silence. I just might be able to make it to my room undisturbed. It shouldn't be so hard to calm down, yet it was. Regardless, I had to. Unless I wanted to experience another case of critical spaghetti spillage. The arguing sounds like it stopped. That's good. I fumble my way into the kitchen and just so happen to bump into a wall. Said wall is a 10-foot demonic owl, standing tall with his arms crossed and donning a disappointed look that could shatter the heart of Charlie Mane herself. His red nighttime robes didn't help to ease the sight of his disapproval, and I certainly wasn't expecting to talk to him of all people about this. Well, no sense in running away now. If it was between either Stolas or the white furious fire of doom, I'd much rather go with the former. Satan knows that relentless ball of unbridled cataclysmic anger would turn me into stone if she saw me in this position. But the dread I feel now is somehow worse than it would have been facing Mom. That look on his face isn't the kind of one he wears unless he's genuinely upset. One look tells me just how many emotions he's going through right now. Sadness, anger, disappointment, even betrayal. It feels like I stabbed him right in the heart. I can only return the look with what I hoped was an understanding smile, but it was infected with more guilt as each second passed on. I can still salvage this, right?
So, Dad, do you know what I've had to put up with because of you, Anonymous?
He interrupts without even a split second of hesitation, his blood-red eyes scrutinizing me thoroughly. His voice is low, accusatory. Hiding my face in my hands, I can fully understand what I've done now. This is a major fuck-up. I done messed up, A-A-Non.
Where do I even start? He growls, barely holding himself back. Oh, I know. How about this? Why did you take so long to get up here if you knew you were in trouble?
A hand gestures irritably right by my face. What do I even say? Looks like I'm playing defense. Random bullshit.
Go.
I got lost in the garden, Mace,
I plead, shrugging and holding my arms low.
We both know that's a lie. A horrible one at that.
That is, if the glare that's incinerated me on the spot is anything to go by. Neither of us even need to say anything. It's clearly he's caught me in his adamant grasp.
What interests me, Anonymous, is what you said about your mother and I over the phone.
Stolas's beak curls into an unnerving smile as he's fueled with anger. What? It couldn't have, could it? The realization hits me like a freight train as I comprehend what might have just happened. For as long as I can remember, I've had a tendency to mumble my inner thoughts. And, unfortunately for me, the more compromising statements are the ones I whisper under my breath. Stolas's tone turns more inquisitorial and assured.
Taking into account the words your mother screamed at me about, we are the worst excuse for parents you've ever seen. Does that sound about right?
He says, tilting his head in faux uncertainty. Oh, Satan, no. I freeze like an imp caught in headlights. Scrambling to come up with any plausible response, I couldn't move a single muscle. Catatonia had effectively taken over my body. My vision is completely tunneled. The only thing I can clearly see is that dreaded look on my dad's face. My breathing halts, and my lungs refuse to budge. In a matter of seconds, I'm quickly losing air. I need to breathe. I have to come up with something. Anything.
Yeah.
I need to hide away and forget all this. I'm not doing this. No, not this time. I'm not doing this.
No, not this time.
If my ship is sinking, I need to be a good captain and go down with it. Not like I have any other options.
I did say that about you two, but I didn't.
His eyes squint deep into my soul, catching the lie before it's even spoken. It tells me crystal clear that I need to choose how I approach this carefully. Gasping inward, I immediately rephrase what was going to be my rebuttal. But this wasn't an argument. Not anymore.
I meant it. Even if I was irrationally angry. I can't take back what I said.
I begin, emphasizing each word as clearly as I can.
Not only did I break your hearts, I also caused another shouting match between you two. All that on top of staying away from home where I should be. It was wrong. All of it was wrong. And I'm sorry.
I lean my head down to the floor in shame. Now I couldn't bear to keep my eye on Dad's face any longer. The sharp, cold tile floor is a much more welcoming sight. The air suddenly begins to freeze, almost making me shiver as the pressure weighs down heavier on me by the second. Instinctively, I cross my arms, tightly gripping each forearm of my now intrusive jacket. This wasn't enough. I wanted to take it off and pierce the skin at this point. I hold my breath, waiting for peace that never comes. Instead, I'm faced with even more guilt stacked on top of the absolute misery I already feel.
3 hours, son.
He menacingly raises 3 claws in the air.
For 3 long, uninterrupted hours, your mother and I have been screaming at each other. On top of that, I've been trying not to get killed by everything she throws at me. And I'm not the only one affected by your carelessness either, Anonymous.
Stolas erratically gestures toward the hall, hands clawed in frustration.
Via is crying in her room because she's been forced to listen to us argue. She's in there thinking this is all her fault.
It's taking every last ounce of my willpower not to break down. I didn't fucking deserve this. No one did. I refuse to believe all of this is my fault. I can't have hurt everyone this badly. But I did. I even hurt Octavia, the one I try my damned hardest to take care of and look after. I keep living day after day for her sake. What did I do? Ruin her day. Fuck that noise, I probably ruined her entire week. Stolas hammers the final nail in the coffin as I clench my eyes shut, forcing the tears to stay inside my sockets. His voice comes with a newfound authoritative tone.
Let me be perfectly blunt. You've been disrespectful, apathetic, selfish, lacking self-control, and utterly callous. You spat at me right in the eye with what you did. You spat on all of us. I could never hurt you or hate you. But just know that I will remember this.
He sighs, gravely slow, pinching the bridge of his beak. If his new attitude is anything to go by, it's that this is just as hard for him to handle, if not more so.
You're going to have to talk to your sister about this. She refuses to let neither your mother nor I in.
Stolas closes his eyes and crosses his arms down low.
It should give you more than enough time to think everything over.
He struts towards the end of the kitchen, talons tiredly dragging across the slabs of tile. The audible screeching tells me that he was making new scratches along the floor as he did. I fear that one of these days those are going to be piercing my throat. I take the moment to wipe my eyes thoroughly, making sure to clean off any evidence of hidden tears. I'm completely lost in the moment, thoughts racing at 1,000,000 miles an hour. This talk with Dad might have just drawn any and all resistance out of me. I take off my jacket, lazily tossing it towards the booth before me. I stretch my body to release the rest of my pent-up stress, popping my ostensibly brittle bones. The air has resumed its natural flow, no longer choking me with its insouciant stillness. I've already killed any sense of self-worth I might have had. Might as well dig it 6 feet under by trying to make things right with Mom. I quietly make my way to the intimidating double doors. Ever since a certain red shitheel came and slept with Dad, Mom has been sleeping in her own secluded room. Every now and then, I would sit by the entrance to her room and listen in. Contrary to the outward persona she shows, I would sometimes hear Stella talking to herself and even sobbing from time to time. And every time, I would beat myself up for not being there for her at her worst. But today was going to be different. I tacitly rapped the door 3 times, hopefully in an unobtrusive manner. I stand patiently, hoping to get this done sooner rather than later. I don't need tonight to get any worse. The door slams open, the crashing of metal booming through the entire manor. What stands before my eyes is the bone-rattling sight of holy fire in living form. Unlike the assertive eyes of her husband, this pair encases absolutely maddening levels of fucking pissed. The sheer, unadulterated vitriol is so strong that it shuts my windpipe entirely. I'm unable to utter a word.
You.
Stella looks down, finger pointed at me as if to fire a special beam cannon through my brain. She steps back, irises never moving an inch. It can't be too bad, right? Oh. Hey, this is something I haven't felt in a good while. What was it again? Oh, right, that would be the feeling of all the wind getting knocked out of my stomach. You know, I always thought the whole tempting fate thing was just a dumb cliche, but here I am, taking all the bad shit at once like some Saturday morning cartoon villain. The force of the princess's shove sends me tumbling down the hall like an H-Mod ragdoll. Time slows down to a crawl as I fly through the air. What remains is the isolating sound of silence in my inner thoughts. They're just now telling me that yes, it can, in fact, be too bad. I brace myself for a kiss with the hard floor. I hold my arms in front of me and shut my eyes. I yelp and slide across the floor, thankfully able to cover my face just in time. Had I not held my arms out, I could have very well been dealing with a broken nose right about now. Only when I come to a stop does it give me the time to take it all in. Oh yeah, I almost forgot. My stomach. She shoved me right where it would hurt the most, and boy is this fucking painful. I lie on the hard ground, writhing in pain as more tears begin to well up in my eyes. I don't think Stella knew just how hard she had shoved me, especially since she sent me flying that far. Satan, this is some of the worst pain I've felt in a while. My mouth is gaping open, saliva spilling out onto my aching arms. My legs are shaking, jerking involuntarily at the horrific sensation spreading through me.
Pathetic! There is no reason for me to waste any words on you!
She screams, sizing me up with her stature before throwing the door shut with all her might.
Oh, my motherfucking everything. My stomach hurts. My arms hurt. My face hurts. My ass hurts.
The pain that's torturing me is akin to a 3-ton hammer slamming itself into me with the force of God's army, shattering all of my insides with its brute, unforgiving strength. I'm writhing on the floor, all alone, with no one to help me up or ask if I'm okay. The sudden loneliness came with its own suffering, stacking itself on top of the unbearable agony already killing me. There's also the dull ache higher up. That loathsome, squawking basket case must have sprained my forearms, too. I turn myself over, relying on sheer will not to scream in torment at the unyielding suffering. But the pain was finally beginning to relent. I take this one step at a time. One arm forward, hand on ground, first one down. Now the second arm. Fuck! A part of me wants to lie on the floor and cry myself to sleep. How the fuck could Mom do that to me? How could she go out of her way to hurt me like this? I fucking tried. She literally pushed me aside and looked at me as if I was walking garbage. At least I could walk away knowing I was right. I'll be sure to say that right to her stupid little beak next time I see her.
providing she doesn't go through another crisis and binge drink all the wine. This newfound rage boiling in my blood gives me the will to keep going. I can do this. One arm forward, one hand on the ground. Good. Next arm forward, hand on the ground. I almost slipped up a second time, but caught myself thanks to my anger. One leg up, one more to go. As I stand, I begin to feel lightheaded and almost trip over myself again. Despite everything, I manage to finally get myself back on my feet. Thank Lucifer for boots. In, out, in, out. I regain control of my breathing one breath at a time. Any anger that has overcome me has wilted away with a whimper as I think back to my old owl statement from before.
You're going to have to talk to your sister about this.
I shake my head and repel all emotion out of my body. Now wasn't the time for more irrational anger. I walk back into the kitchen to see that it's only been 20 minutes since I got home. The scolding from Stolas and the gut combustion from Stella had made tonight feel like an eternity. I spot a carnivorous plant by the window and find just what I need to numb the rest of the pain.
Hey, Jeff,
I tiredly whisper. Now, Jeff wasn't this plant's real name. It didn't even have one. I call it Jeff because, fuck you, it's funny. I'm the comedy king of these wretched realms. God forbid it starts telling me its name. On the pot is light writing of the plant's origin. Carfentanil. This was just what I needed to get through the rest of the night. The plant leans towards the pristine glass, allowing me to pluck the bottom leaves from its roots. I take them over to the table, grab my blue water bottle, and crush the leaves into a fine powder at the seams. I pop open the lid and pour the remaining dust into the refined liquid before shutting it tight. I make a note to myself not to forget Octavia's shake. It's still cold, so I decided it would be best to just give it to her and go to bed. Then the silhouette of Stolas appears in my mind and pile drives that idea into a gorvette. A weird thought for sure, but it stops me from going through with that plan regardless. Fuck it. I'll talk to her despite all the bullshit tonight. I stop in front of my sister's bedroom door and knock shaving a haircut. Yeah, 10 points for originality, but it's what we do. The room is silent and the door looks to be unlocked. With shaky hands, I open the door, preparing for the worst.
Via, I speak in the darkness. I have something for you.
I hold her shake high in the air for her to see. What comes next is an assault of various clothes, pillows, and other assorted items lying sprawled across the scorned girl's room. If I didn't know any better, I'd say she didn't want to see me right now.
Hey, quit it!
I desperately plead, nearly succumbing to the soft onslaught. A pair of purple socks hit me right in the eye. I always forget how weird the talon-tailored ones look.
Go away!
She yells, voice cracking with a tinge of melancholy. I can faintly see some rectangular object held up in her magical grasp.
Stop throwing shit! Ah, fuck!
A hardcover book flies right smack into my forehead. The rage-fueled force of the throw sends me stumbling back and crashing against the wall. The noise of the book's impact was akin to a shotgun blast, destroying my eardrums, leaving me with some good old crippling tinnitus. My old friend. I'm shut out for the second time. Thus, I inwardly curse the afterlife for the nth time today. There wasn't a chance in hell I could talk to her right now. Looks like it's going to have to wait. I lethargically open the door to my room and fall face first on the bed, enveloping its feathery warmth. I turn to jelly in the bed's soft embrace, yet I still feel a tinge of guilt for not pushing on to talk to Via.
Meh, I can deal with it later. It's time to get some shut-eye. I can't sleep.
My eyes glow just a little more than usual, wide open and on high alert. All of my senses are sky high. I hear the erratic beating of my shallow heart, the chirping of the garden hoppers, and the chilly air blowing from the air conditioning vent above. I smell the heavenly scent of freshly washed bedsheets. I taste an indifferent dryness in my mouth. I see the dimly lit decorations hanging sparse all around my room, but most of all, I feel the aching of my body, the silky clothes, and the dull throbbing of my soul.
It's the kind where you know you would have something that must be done, but you keep putting it off for some instant gratification. The pain only grows until it bursts like a poorly kept dam. And the worst part about this is that I would have to wait until tomorrow. But there was no rest for the wicked, as they say. At least, that's what I thought until I heard Shave and a Haircut knocking on my door. I have no fucking idea what to say. Do I make an excuse? Do I spare some of the details? Do I ask how she handled it? I guess I'll find out.
Come in, I croak.
And in comes the heir to the throne, Princess Octavia Aurora Goetia. She really does look worse for wear. Her distinct missing beanie has left her hair comically frizzled. Mascara has etched down her beak from what looked like to be tears from earlier. Her sleep shirt is slightly lopsided, one sleeve leaning further down than the other. Her inscrutable look is what concerns me the most. I couldn't quite understand how she was feeling right now. At least she kept the shake.
Can we talk?
The owlet muttered, voice croaking. It sounded like she was holding something back.
Of course.
I lean up from my bed as she approaches me, wincing from the pain in my stomach. Fuck, I hope she didn't notice that.
But not here. Out there.
I point to a set of double doors to my left. With a nod, she pulls me up from my bed. Thankfully, I stayed silent this time around. I grab my scarf-tipped water bottle and lazily approach the double door. The wind pushes my hair back and softly cools my face. The view from up top was nothing short of absolutely stunning. Down below, we could see every single highway, every last lit skyscraper, every last car driving in Pentagram City, all covered in the dark red hue of the intimidating red pentagram above us. The sounds of gunshots, horns, and general city hustle and bustle all mesh together into a quiet hum, overshadowed by the comforting wind blowing past us. We lean on the freezing edge of the balcony, using the moment to take everything in. Dear Lucifer, why don't I come out here more often is beyond me. This was incredible. I chugged my entire water bottle in one go, begging for the carf to take over and melt the anxiety out of me. Meanwhile, Octavia is simply enjoying her shake, one sip at a time. How the hell is that still cold by now? Is this another one of her magic tricks?
Yep.
Oh, fucking mumbling, not again.
I was planning on having this first thing in the morning, but...
She pauses for a moment, unsure on how exactly to word her response.
I couldn't sleep. I've been staying up all night, just distracted. It's like every time I close my eyes, I can hear you all shouting at each other, even when you're not. I've been staring off into space for the past 5 hours. What about you?
I scratched the back of my head and thought. The carf was beginning to take its hold, slowing my thinking.
Me too. I just can't shake that feeling, you know, that I've done something wrong, or that I'm going to. Sort of looms over me in that way, I guess.
Octavia nods in response, taking another long sip of her shake.
But
I'm really starting to feel it now. It's getting hard to form words.
I feel like I just don't matter.
Octavia glances over to me. Her look is inquisitorial, but it's clear she doesn't understand.
What do you mean?
I don't know how to explain it. It's like I'm just invisible. Like I'm a ghost wandering a graveyard at night. No one ever checks in on me to see how I'm doing, or asks to hang out, or anything like that. I just feel like I'm going nowhere as a nobody. Remembered for nothing.
Octavia turns her body towards me, now fully listening in.
I try and try to be noticed, to be acknowledged in a good way. I try to make sure you're happy, to make sure I'm happy. But all I end up doing is making things worse for everyone.
Every time I'm out of the manor, it's always Mom and Dad arguing with each other, or you along with them.
For fuck's sakes, even when I'm home. Mom's throwing stuff at Dad, Dad's having an affair, you're stuck in your room, unable to do anything about it.
She steps closer, now eye to eye with me.
I don't understand. You think you caused all this to happen, maybe? Because if that's it, I'm going to call you out on that. You know it isn't true.
She states firmly.
Maybe. I don't know, I reply,
leaning down with my head on the railing.
I've been trying, Via, but what I'm trying to say is I don't know if I'll ever find my place in the world, or even this family. No matter what I do, it gets worse.
A dull anger fuels my body, leaving me with my hands and my hair. I feel like nothing but a pathetic outcast, even to my own parents. I throw my arms back. Nothing I do is going to matter. Everything I try to do just ends up flopping sideways. And it doesn't help that everyone's out to get me at all times. I hide my face in my hands once more. Octavia starts to reach out, but pulls away when she sees I'm continuing my rant.
None of it's worth a damn. Nothing fucking matters. It doesn't matter that Dad berates me. It doesn't matter that Mom hurts me. It doesn't...
She jerks back violently. Her expression switches from a thousand-yard stare to a seething vitriol as comprehension dawns on her. Oop. And there it is. Tonight, on 6-6 News, Anon realizes he is horrendously fucking stupid and can't choose his words carefully. More at 11.
What's that supposed to mean?
She just about leaps towards me to play up how serious she is in her question.
Shit.
Should I let her know? Is that the right thing to do? Or do I just play it cool and hope she forgets about it? Nope. Nuh-uh. There's no way I'm going to stay up for another 2 hours listening to Via and Mom cluck like chickens to each other. I'm too tired for this shit.
Nothing.
Oh, Mother of Lucifer, I need to turn away and go back to looking at the city. Before I have the chance to act, Via pushes her hand against my stomach in search of injury.
Yep, still hurts like a bitch. Ow!
She pulls up the bottom of my shirt. What sprawled through my stomach was a nasty dark purple blotch of bruise trailing up to my ribs. It looked like some sort of zombie virus had effectively begun taking over my body with how ugly and painful it looked. The two of us stared daggers at each other, commanding one another to do or not do something. I was pretty much praying for her not to go start another argument with our parents. She was telling me to leave her be. As each second passes by, we inwardly throw jabs at one another, waiting for the other to succumb to the pain and give up. Time slows to a lethargic crawl as we continue battling one another. Her stance was aggressive, demanding to take control, and here I was begging for her to let go. It wasn't weakness, but rather wanting to do things the easier way. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Like a poorly lubricated grandfather clock does as each second passes by. Her glare falters. Looks like tonight isn't a complete disaster after all.
Come here.
She takes me by the hand and... Whoa! Via, what's that in your hands?
Oh, calm down, won't you? They're just bandages and algae. Quit freaking out.
She says, unwrapping said bandages menacingly like the fucking plague doctor. Here I was, in my sister's way bigger than it needs to be room, about to be autopsied with God knows what my sister brought in with her. I was just laying here dumbfounded. In comes Octavia, holding tens of thingamabobs in her arms. Now there's where the fear started. I believe that she at long last had enough of my shit and decided to dissect me alive like a lava frog. So, I guess this is goodbye. My afterlife really fucking sucked. The angel dust bits were pretty cool, I guess.
For the love of Satan, Anon, stop mumbling. I'm trying to concentrate,
Via yells, pulling me out of my head.
Now take off your shirt.
Fine, I grunt. I lean forward and toss aside my 2021 Veroska Ring Tour shirt. With how bad the injury is, I'm quite shocked my shirt didn't have a gaping hole in it. Safe to say I feel the pain down in my stomach. It certainly felt like I was donutted right there.
Now lie down, she commands.
I don't bother arguing. Even though I'm a grade A idiot, I'm proud to say that I'm a certified fitizen. I'm no bodybuilder, but this 8-pack is really doing me some favors. I do whatever I can to calm myself down, but even with the car flowing through my veins, I can't shake the anxiety bubbling inside. Via takes a suspiciously bright green algae and quickly rubs it together against her hands. She reaches down and touches my stomach as soft as she could. I gasp through my teeth, both out of pain and shock.
Cold! Cold!
I hopelessly squawk.
I know. Now quit your whining and let me help you,
Via responded with an unusually empathetic tone.
I lean back down on the feathery bed, enveloping its warmth in search of comfort. I wince again at the touch, but I manage. She begins gently applying the algae across my belly as well as my chest for good measure. The cold touch quickly turned into a soothing heat radiating from my blood and bones. It was heaven, for lack of a good word. I couldn't describe just what it felt like to have the oozing magic algae seeping into my skin. It was the panacea in physical form. A perfect medicine too rich for lowly sinner blood like mine. The algae is then applied to my arms. Again, freezing cold, but it quickly coats me again with its motherly touch, like a king-size blanket. Via meticulously rubs down the substance with caring finesse akin to Hell's top surgeons. The look on her face tells me she's both concentrated and careful with a hint of determination. If there was one thing I would have to acknowledge when it comes to the two of us, it's that we're always looking out for each other despite our contrasting selves. Our home life had always been bad, but ever since the flamboyant freak show started an affair with that bastard imp, things have been turning for the worst. And ever since then, we've taken good care of each other because we both are willing to lay down our lives for one another. We were the closest family we had, and by Satan, we were going to love and cherish it. Octavia finishes applying the rest of the algae. A low, soft hum emanates from the goo, displaying its powers at work. I was feeling better, but not quite as good as new.
All right, now for the wrapping. This is going to feel super tight, so don't go suffocating on me,
Via commands, quickly undoing the bandage roll. A pathetically stupid joke pops in my head. This isn't even that funny, but I'm doing it because, fuck you, sis, I'm hilarious as fuck.
That's what she said.
I burst out laughing like an idiot, smiling to myself for my devilish deed. Truly, it was quite the knee slapper. Or a face slapper, depending on who you ask.
Ow!
You're not off my shit list, watch it, Via states, pointing an accusing claw right at my nose. No more jokes. I don't need to lose my focus to your creatively bankrupt sense of humor, Anon.
She holds her hand down by the right side of my waist to hold the end of the bandage and slowly stretches the contents of the roll across me.
You're a real dick, you know, I say in mock offense.
And you're a cunt, Octavia retorts. Maybe we fit together after all.
Well, fuck me, that's a first.
Ouch.
Sis, that's super insensitive. You don't have to go and destroy me like that to make a point. You've sliced me down to nothing. I sigh, unable to process her roast. I don't know what's done me worse, what Mom did to me or what Via's doing to me right now.
Hmm, she hums, pretending to think about something. Just like your love life.
A problem has been detected, and Anonymous has shut down to prevent damage to his ego.
I give up.
I raise the white flag and suffer defeat. I don't think I've ever been roasted this hard in my life. Damn me for teaching Octavia these things. Via continues to roll me up like a Christmas present. Every now and then, I have to arch my back just so she can reach under my arm. The algae's bright green is beginning to dim, working its magic to heal my now less vomit-inducing bruises. The wrapping holds me down, clenching to me like a tourniquet on a gaping gash.
Sorry for throwing the book at you earlier,
Via mutters, looking down at her working hands away from my eyes.
I shouldn't have done that. It was wrong, and I had no reason to.
No, it's okay, Via, I stutter. I fucked up royally and ruined everyone's night. I should be the one apologizing to you. The book in my face is well deserved, if you ask me.
Via rolls me over and onto my belly, using the rest of the roll.
I relax my muscles and bury my arms and face into her pillow.
Where did you get this stuff from, anyway?
You know the room next to the stairwell? You know, near the center?
Octavia asked, pushing the hair out of her face.
Yeah, I think so. I stupidly guess. The manor was too big for its own good.
One could slice it in half and still be too large.
That's where. Now hold still just a second longer.
Octavia pulls out a pack of pins to stitch up the wrapping, being careful as to not pierce through my back. Then she pulls on the edge of the bandage to make sure it's securely tight. A new sensation washes over my lower back. It's the feeling of Via tenderly pushing down on the center spot of her handiwork, working as a massage in what happened to be the good spot.
Just your arms lift, you'll be good to go,
Octavia exclaims, proud of her hard work thus far. Scrupulously, she tends to both of my aching arms, humming a tune I didn't recognize. It's weird that she's going this far to help. I guess someone in this hellhole did care for me after all.
done. Let me help you get settled into bed, Anon.
She offers just a little more chirpy than usual. Thanks, sis. I groan, eyes trailing off and out of focus. If I had to take a guess, I've been up for about 20 hours now. It was time to hit the hay and hopefully rid myself of these bandages as soon as possible. They're tighter than an avian demon during their estrus season. I quickly push the thought out of my mind, sighing to myself. Octavia pulls me up and saunters me off to my room. How lovely it was to be back in my own bed, refreshed and healing. She takes my blankets, airs them out, then lets them gently float onto my bed. I was now at peak comfy, and done with all of today's bullshit. I only signed up for today. Tomorrow's worries are for tomorrow's me. Via turns back with the most sincere, heartwarming smile she could have hoped to plaster on her beak. Her eyes tell a story of unmatched care and unconditional love.
Good night, Anon, she whispers.
Night.
The soft humming of the air conditioning and the light of the city gravely dwindle down to nothing, leaving me with nothing but bliss as I fall off into what would be a long, peaceful sleep.